Hi there, and welcome back to the podcast. You're listening to An Ounce Prevention with Women in Distress, and I'm your host, Emily Janis. As they say, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure, and that's what this show is all about, building awareness to end domestic violence. In this episode, we're talking to survivor, advocate, speaker, and entrepreneur Ashley. As you'll hear, I heard Ashley speak at an event in the community, and I'm so grateful we got connected and that she's using her story to promote safety and healing and to advocate for others.
Sharing my story is crucial because it holds a lot of power to inspire and to power others. I aim to break the silence surrounding domestic violence.
So welcome, Ashley Nicole, to the podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. We're so happy to have you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Can you start just by telling us a little bit about yourself?
I am a boutique owner, a visionary, a domestic violence survivor. I'm a quality specialist by profession. And I'm me. Like what you see.
What a good answer.
It's just hard to write a script about that, or I'm just me.
Yeah, no. And I, so I know we first met and got in touch, through the Links, which is a great, great group. And we were at the Broward County chapter meeting back, I think it was almost a month ago. And you told your story, we were kind of honoring Domestic Violence Awareness Month. So, and you looked amazing with your boutique. I know you were, doing all of that and your fashion stuff. So I'm sorry that this is just an audio podcast and folks aren't going to be able to see you, but I was really grateful to be introduced to you and to hear your story firsthand. I think in this work, we do hear stories, we work with survivors, but I think the way you were able to share it in that space was really powerful. So I appreciate you coming on the podcast and spending your time. And you do speak about being a survivor of domestic violence. I know you even mentioned that as part of who you are. Can you share a little bit about your story with us?
Okay. So I was in a 13-year relationship, 6 of those years married. The abuse actually started before we were married. The first time it happened, I was laying down in bed and I was just in a lot of pain from a procedure that I had earlier that morning. And I just reached over to simply say, hey, something's not right. Like, I'm in a lot of pain. And he slapped me. So I'm like, okay, I just got to the bottom of the bed and I cried it out until I fell asleep. But that wouldn't have been the last time. Over the years, there were several different incidents, from having cold water pouring on me as if, I don't even know who would pour cold water on anybody, but right. Having cold water poured on me, being kicked in my neck to the point where I just felt like, this is it. And it all stemmed down from smaller arguments or trying to be in control or of finances, things not going the way he wanted them to go. Mm-hmm. Maybe the right response she wanted at that time. So it just kind of steered from those different things. As time went on, like I said, things just got worse to the point where I would go to family, I would tell them about certain things, and they would come to my rescue. But for some reason, I couldn't leave because he made me feel like, even though you're going to your family, they don't care. They're not going to save you. I'm all that you have. And I believed it. I believed it. The manipulation, the narcissistic behaviors, like, I was okay with it. There was times when I tried to jump out of a moving vehicle on 95 because deep down inside I wanted to just escape from everything, because it was just so bad. So I became addicted to pain medications where I could take maybe one Percocet to fall asleep, and it wasn't working, and to try to avoid going through any of the fights and arguments, one pain pill turned into two pain pills, mm-hmm. to three pain pills, to four pain pills, and they just started increasing until I don't even know how I made it the next day. A particular incident that I will never forget is the day I was told to call my children and tell them that I love them because I'll never see them again. Mm-hmm. As I was in a tub full of water with a gun to my head, I had to call my children and say, just know that mommy loves you. And from there, you know, I started to pray a little bit more and just tell God, like, if you get me out of this time, I promise you that I'm never going back to it. But those were things that I had said over time during the course. And every time he made a way of escape, I always went back. So each time I went back, like, the violence turned up a little bit more. During pregnancy, it didn't even stop. I recall laying in the bed, and whatever he was upset about, he took his hands and he began to press into my stomach and talk to our unborn child and say, Daddy, love you, but I don't want you. It gets a little emotional. I'm sorry.
Of course. No apologies necessary. That's really heavy stuff. And I appreciate you being willing to share your story and so much of it. I know, you know, you've been doing a lot of healing work and finding the support. And luckily you had, sounds like, family and friends that were supportive, but it doesn't make it any easier to talk about.
Yes. But I can say that the very last incident for me, I was in a hit and run accident with me and the four of my children. My son was maybe he was just walking. But when the accident happened, my youngest daughter, she was injured really bad. Her ribs were fractured, her pelvic bone was fractured, lungs punctured, spleen punctured, and she had a lot of internal bleeding, and I was blamed because somebody else hit me and took off and she was injured. At that time, I had started going to a women's group for more support. It's called Sisters Empowering Sisters. And that was like an outlet for me, because there I was learning to, you know, just continue to trust God, continue to have faith, and, you know, all things will change. And I was leaving to go to this meeting one day, and I was standing with my best friend. We were by her car, and he took his hands and wrapped them around my neck, and he was literally like choking me to the point that I could not breathe. And I could see the rage in his eyes, but I also heard God say, if you go back to it this time, you're going to die in it. And that was the last thing, because I knew that if I continue to allow this to happen, my warning already came before the destruction. I'm going to be leaving my children here to be raised by somebody who cares only for themselves. And that was the very last time I left everything. I had nothing for me and my kids. I left it all there. And that was it for me. But it didn't stop. Even after I left, I think sometimes we feel like when people say domestic violence, it's just the physical abuse, mm-hmm. and it was still the emotional abuse, the verbal abuse, even now to this day, still trying to control me financially. You know, it didn't stop even then.
Which I think is so important for folks to realize. And again, why I appreciate and I'm so grateful for you sharing your story. I think people don't realize, like, even if you choose to leave, it doesn't mean the abuse stops, you know, and there are so many factors that can impact your choice to leave and your choice to stay, you know, but it's still this person's choice to hurt you. And you, it sounds like throughout your whole story, you were putting your children first, you were protecting them and doing what you could to keep themselves and yourself safe in a really complex and awful, awful situation.
I think what we fail to realize is it affects you, but it also affects the children, because they grow up believing, okay, well, I saw my mom go through this, so this is okay. This is what love is. And they begin to accept these same things. And it not only, you know, affects them in there, but social life, in school, it really has an effect on them.
Absolutely, it does. Yeah. And now, you know, you're setting a completely different role model for your children of this is what power looks like. This is what love looks like. This is what safety can look like. But yeah, I think it affects children more than people realize.
Yes, it does. It does. It gives them also, my children dealt with unforgiveness for a long time. Unforgiveness, and they literally carry hate in their heart. And that was something else, like, I had to continue to pray about and, you know, just let them know, like, I understand what happened over here, but unforgiveness isn't about this person. Forgiving is about you, not this person. So we can live with unforgiveness, but it weighs us down to the point where this may be sleeping well, but because I feel the way I feel about you, I'm losing sleep. I'm angry. I'm just dealing with all of these emotions that I can't control. So it took a very long time for me to get them to the point where they would forgive and even to build back from the beginning, because that was damaged as well.
Absolutely. And how do you feel like your progress is, or how is your relationship now with them, if you feel comfortable talking about that?
So much better.
That's wonderful. And sounds like you really put in the work to do that.
Yes. Yes.
So why, I know, because that your story, there's so much in your story that's so heavy, and to, like, to see where you are now and know what happened to you is, you know, there's just so much resilience too in your story. And I imagine it is still really hard to talk about, but why is it important for you to share your story?
So sharing my story is crucial because it holds a lot of power to inspire and to power others who may be going through some other things. By me opening up about my journey, I aim to break the silence surrounding domestic violence. It's a way of turning a personal struggle into a source of strength for me, letting others know that they are not alone, and just about the importance of addressing the issue of domestic violence.
Yeah, what a powerful thing. And thank you for using your story to do that. What information and support do you think we need to provide? You know, I know we're talking about children, so young people, adults, or really just anyone in the community. What kind of information do folks need to know to prevent domestic violence? Or what would you want them to know?
I believe that education and educating on healthy relationships, building self-esteem, you know, bringing awareness to, like, the warning signs, programs like Women in Distress, community awareness.
Well, and if you don't mind me asking kind of from that, I agree. And I think, like, we're on the same page a lot, but even though we do this as work at Women in Distress, and that's how we got connected. I was so, so grateful to hear your story, both in the event we first met at and in this space, because I think as much as we talk about the dynamics of domestic violence and the healthy relationship, I love that you brought up self-esteem. You know, I can talk about that in the community, but it's so much more powerful coming from someone like you who has lived it and has that perspective to share. So if you could share one message with every person in the county about this type of violence or about healthy relationships, what would that message be?
So understand that your well-being matters and healthy relationships are built on respect, communication, and consent. Recognize the signs of dating violence, trust your instincts, and seek support. Every individual deserves to be treated with dignity and kindness. And I believe together as a community, we can thrive in relationships based on mutual respect and understanding.
Absolutely. Those are such key components. And I'm so glad you mentioned that too, because I think we don't talk enough about like what respect actually looks like. You know, like I feel like people are like, oh yeah, okay, respect, sure. And then we don't, like, I love that you brought in all those things, even like communication and consent, because I think those are such key elements of like, it's how you practice respect for someone else. I love that you brought up dignity too. Can you talk a little bit more about what you mean when you say those sorts of things like respect and dignity and consent?
I don't want to say it's more like some type of verbal agreement, but it can also be that. But I don't consent to you putting your hands on me and I don't want you to. As far as respect, I do believe with that, you have to give it to get it. But a lot of people don't live on that. So if I'm going to respect you enough to keep a line of communication open with you, or respect you enough to say, hey, not today. I don't want to argue with you. I don't want to fight with you. I just need my space. I feel like you should honor that enough or respect me enough to say, okay, today I'll just leave it where it is. So those few things.
Yeah, no, I think that's wonderful. And I love that, like, that's so empowering too, to know that, yeah, if I'm not comfortable, that's fine, you know, and you should, I love that you use the word honor that. I think that's a perfect way to say it.
Yeah.
And then and my final question I'm curious to know is what does a violence-free world or a violence-free future look like to you as someone who has experienced such harmful violence directly?
A violence-free world. Individuals live without fear of harm and being oppressed. It's a place where empathy and understanding replaces aggression, where conflicts are resolved through dialogue and compassion. Equality thrives, and everyone enjoys a sense of safety and irrespective of gender, race, or background. Communities actively support one another, fostering environments that prioritize mental and emotional well-being. A violence-free world embodies harmony, justice, and the shared commitment to creating a nurturing and inclusive global society. And that, for me, that's what a violence-free world looks like.
That is beautiful. I love that so much. I'm so glad that's recorded and that we have that. And thank you for all you're doing to contribute to that. I think the way you're telling your story, the way you're getting out there and advocating, and just the way even in your family life, you're showing up for your kids. I mean, you're creating that world. So thank you so much for sharing all of this with on our podcast today.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. It's something because prior to the event on the 1st, I don't know if I shared that with you. I had just sent out an email because God had shown me so many different things that I can do to advocate 365. And I said that I wanted to give back to the women in any shelters, because when I left with nothing and I had to start over. I know a lot of times it's something we are forced to do. It's like, I gotta go, I gotta take everything. I gotta leave everything, and I just have to leave with the clothes on my back and my children and maybe a purse if I have time to even grab that. So I had sent an email saying that I would love to donate some items. And I had spoken to my friend that was there with me, Erica Mitchell, and she was like, well, give them 72 hours to respond. And in those 72 hours, I was literally in the room with you guys. And I'm like, wow, God is so good.
That's amazing. That you didn't share that part with me. I love that you did just now, though. That's so cool. Man, that is awesome. And yeah, and that's all you. That's you reaching out. That's you taking that seed of a thought and taking action on it.
Yes.
That's beautiful. Well, thank you so much again for sharing your story, for spending your time with us today. I know our listeners are sure benefiting greatly and from the information and the education and awareness you've provided in this conversation.
Anything just to help or whatever it is.
I can just imagine too, anyone listening out there who is either currently going through something similar or knows somebody, loves somebody that is or has in the past and maybe is in a similar spot to you where they're kind of growing past it and learning about their own empowerment and resiliency. I'm sure what you said resonated and is making a difference for somebody. So thank you for that.
You're welcome.
This episode of the podcast was brought to you by the new year. It doesn't need to really be a new them because they're already pretty great education and prevention team at Women in Distress, a nonprofit certified domestic violence center in beautiful Broward County, Florida. Special thanks to today's guest, Ashley, for her commitment to sharing her story, to educating others, and all that she's doing to make our world that beautiful, safer place she described. Stay in touch for more episodes and perspectives. Until next time, stay well, stay safe, and remember, violence is preventable. For everyone out there, please know that there is help if you or someone you know is experiencing dating violence, domestic abuse, or an unhealthy relationship. To talk to someone and get help, contact your local domestic violence hotline. If you're in Broward County, you can contact Women in Distress. Our crisis hotline is 954-761-1133. You can also contact the National Domestic Violence Hotline wherever you are at 1-800-799-SAFE. That's 1-800-799-7233.